Welcome to the second hour of the John Rothman program right here on KGO News Talk 810. I don't want to waste even a minute of this hour. First of all, I want to tell you, I received an email from a listener, Alice. And Alice, I know you're listening tonight. And she said, I just heard your announcement regarding autism. And some of you know we pushed very hard for a program by the San Francisco Recreation and Parks Department that they did to raise money for a special program for autism. And this is what Alice emailed me. My niece has a son who has Asperger's syndrome. She has guided him throughout his life. He is now attending a university in Denver. My niece has published a book entitled A Mom's Guide to Asperger's Syndrome. And because of Alice's email, I immediately got in touch, and Jan agreed to come in to talk about her book. I read the book, and I have to tell you, I have a very dear friend, whose son is my son's age. He is now 18, and he has Asperger's. And I never understood what Asperger's was. I mean, I knew in a generic, general sense. Having read this book, I now have a far better grasp. And so anybody who is listening to the sound of my voice who has someone involved with Asperger's or autism, 800-808-1010. We've already had an overwhelming response to Jan's appearance here, and I'm delighted to welcome Jan Johnston Tyler, the author of The Mom's Guide to Asperger's Syndrome. Thanks for coming in, Jan.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, let's start out with your son and why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book because it really was the book that I needed. I had wished that I had had this book when my son was first diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. He was 4 years old, and this was back in the early 90s, and Asperger's syndrome had just made its debut, if you will, into the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual, which is the handbook that all mental health professionals use for diagnosing various mental disorders. So it was brand new, and very few people knew anything about it. Even psychiatrists and psychologists were still learning about it. So there was nothing available in terms of written information, protocols, what to do with these children to help them, nothing. So I kind of stumbled through for quite some time and figured out how to do it and decided to write it all down.
Kate, my understanding is that Asperger's on the autism spectrum, and the disorder is characterized by significant difficulties in social interaction, along with restricted and repetitive patterns of behavior and interests. We are told it differs from other autism spectrum disorders by, well, the preservation of linguistic and cognitive development. And that was the case with my friend's son, who's very articulate, very bright. And it's amazing the number of brilliant people who have been in the Asperger's syndrome, including Albert Einstein, many, many of the smartest people in the world. When your son was diagnosed, or what did you first notice?
Well, first off, he was our first child, so it was a little bit difficult for us to tell if he was a neurotypical or a neurodiverse child, if you would. But we did notice that he had a hard time playing with other children. He wanted very much to interact with other kids, but he was awkward in the way that he approached other children to play. And it caused him a great deal of distress. He'd become very upset, sometimes even angry, that children didn't respond to him the way that he wanted them to. So we knew something was up, and we were also very lucky in that we were going to a really great preschool at the time. And most of the teachers, the lead teacher in each room had a master's degree in child development, which is practically unheard of. And they told us that they thought that there was something worth investigating. And so we took him to Children's Health Council in Palo Alto, and it started a process that lasted about 4 months to get his diagnosis.
Okay. Once you had the diagnosis, first of all, did it shake you up?
Yes and no. I mean, I think on one side it didn't shake me up because I knew there was something a little bit different about him. So it sort of reaffirmed what I believed. What was scary was that there was so little known about Asperger's syndrome, and so there were no books that I could go read. There were no specialists I could talk to. There were no other parents that I could easily contact to talk to them about what have you done. So it was a little bit like walking off a cliff.
Is that why you wrote the book?
It is. Exactly why I wrote the book, because it, in some regards, and I say this kind of jokingly, it was a little bit of self-preservation. A lot of my friends and people that I had known and coworkers started referring all of their friends, family members who were also having children who were diagnosed with Asperger's, pointed them at me and said, she can help you. She's figured it out. So, you know, I figured if I'm going to write this stuff over and over and over again in email, maybe I should just actually write the book.
Now, it's important to note that you wrote me a note in which you said you left a lucrative career in high tech, returned to school to get your master's in counseling. You've opened a consulting firm to work with teens and adults who have autism, and your goal is to help them be functional. My guest is Jan Johnston Tyler. She is going to tell you how you can get her book. But more than that, already many of you are calling who have questions about Asperger's. This is a fascinating question. More and more children in our society are affected by the autism spectrum, including Asperger's. And our understanding is so important. 8080810. I am John Rothman, right here on KGO. I'm John Rothman. My guest tonight is Jan Johnston Tyler. Her book is The Mom's Guide to Asperger's Syndrome and Related Disorders. It is available from Amazon.com, and you'll give us a website, I know, as well. Let me tell you that I've got so many people who want to call. Let's go to James, calling from Sunnyvale. James, welcome to KGO.
Yes, I'm driving right this minute. I don't know if you can take me in maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I didn't know how soon I'd get on the line.
If you want to hold on, I will let you hold on. We don't want you to get a ticket, James. So I'll come back to you, okay?
Yeah, it should be 5 or 10 minutes.
All right, James, you hold on. Let me ask you a question, because James, when he comes back, has Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
People with Asperger's can drive a car, right?
Yes, certainly. Absolutely, they can drive a car. Now, some young teens with Asperger's might be intimidated, more so maybe than other 16, 17, 18-year-olds. But typically, even if they're nervous about doing it at that age, come their 20s, they're certainly able to do so.
And I have a friend who has Asperger's who is going to fly a plane.
That's awesome. That's absolutely possible. There's no reason why I can't.
All right. Let's go to Vicki, calling from Sacramento. Vicki, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. This subject is real dear to me. I teach a Sunday school class of 9-year-olds, and one of my little boys, his parents told me that the school is going to test him for autism. And I just have noticed a couple of things that this boy does that I wonder if they're symptoms of autism or Asperger's. When he gets nervous, sometimes he'll flap at his ears and he'll rub his head like it's on fire.
Or let me just point out that Jan is nodding her head. People can't see that. So have a discussion here.
Certainly. Hand flapping, any kind of flapping, repetitive motion, tapping usually is indicative or can be indicative of something on the autism spectrum, definitely.
But you know, he's knocked it off over the months that I've had him in my class. I've given him lots of attention, and he's kind of knocked it off.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, like this past week, he was just wound up because of Christmas, and he was doing this kind of thing.
And that's exactly why he was doing it. So you're going to see the behavior, that type of behavior, when he's anxious or even when he's excited. It doesn't have to be bad anxiety, but he's excited.
Okay, he hides under chairs and benches sometimes?
Yep.
That's Asperger's. Okay,
it sounds like it could be. I mean, of course, you know, really you need to have a full diagnosis by a professional, but it very well could be.
Well, I thought it was just bad behavior because his parents don't discipline him at all, and he just walks all over them.
And if I can just interject really briefly, this is something very near and dear to my heart. Frequently, children with undiagnosed Asperger syndrome, ADHD, even learning disabilities, frequently are treated as if their behavior is willful. And so they're disciplined for their behavior. That's really unfair to the child. It's a little bit like disciplining a child with Tourette's syndrome for ticking.
Yes.
You have to be really careful. Assume that the child cannot control the behavior, and the way you're handling him really sounds perfect. Lots of positive reinforcement, just making sure he feels like he's comfortable. That's wonderful.
Oh, I just love the little boy to death, and I just hug him and, you know, give him positive strokes and all this kind of stuff. And he's been much better lately. Much better.
Sounds to me like you're just the kind of person who should be in the business you're in. Thanks a million. And you want to get hold of Jan's book. How do you order the book, Jan? Tell her.
The easiest thing to do really is to go on the Amazon and order it there. You can also go to my website. I do sell it from there. It might take a little bit longer to get it from my website than Amazon, but you're welcome to go to it. It's www.evolibri.com.
And it's The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome by Jan Johnston Tyler. Thanks a million for your call. 800-808-10 is the number right here on KGO. You have a very interesting chapter on how this affects parents and families. Mm-hmm. Just spend a minute on that, will you?
Well, you know, and it's not just Asperger syndrome that affects families, but frequently what I see, especially in my clinical practice, is I will see with older children, one of the parents is more involved in the child rearing than the other. And I suppose that's true in most families anyway. But it's not uncommon to see a father withdraw somewhat, especially because most individuals with Asperger syndrome are boys, much higher prevalence rate. And I think that there's some grieving that goes on in the dads that they probably aren't even aware of consciously. And that tends to have them pull away from their children a little bit. It can cause stress between parents. Certainly one of the biggest problems any married couple has tends to be, you know, being in agreement on parenting their children. When it comes to special needs, it's even that much harder. As you heard from the previous caller, you know, is this willful behavior? Is it not? There's a lot of division, and it takes an enormous amount of energy. So if parents don't take care of themselves in their own marriage and their other children, then the family really can hit hard times.
My guest is Jan Johnston Tyler. The book is The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders. I must tell you, I learned so much from this book. It helped me to understand better my good friend's son, who I've known practically his whole life. So I recommend this book to all of you. If you know anybody with autism or Asperger's, what Jan has done is really a marvelous, marvelous achievement. It's a one-of-a-kind book and so important. I'm John Rothman right here on KGO. John Rothman with you right here on KGO. So many of you calling, I'm not surprised, because people who are involved in Asperger's understand how little information there is in general. The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome, there's no cure, there's no, you know, snap answer. What this is a step-by-step approach to how to deal with what you're going to be dealing with your whole life if you know somebody with Asperger's. Jan Johnston Tyler is the author of the book. Let's get right to your calls. John calling from Bandon, Oregon. Welcome to KGO.
Yes, hello, John and Jane. I appreciate you doing this show tonight on this topic. I'm wondering if Jane and has any recalling anything about the use of thimerosal and some of the findings about autism being caused by this mercury preservative and vaccine.
Stay with me. Don't go away. And Jan will answer your question. Go ahead, Jan.
Yeah, there certainly was quite a lot of brouhaha, certainly in the last 3 or 4 years about this. As I recall, the doctor who published that well-known report has since been absolutely disgraced. His study was flawed from top to bottom. Here's one way that I'd like the listeners to frame this in their mind. If there was indeed a cause and effect from vaccinations, particularly that one type, why is it that autism and Asperger syndrome has been around for generations, decades? We're now coming to understand that the likes of Albert Einstein, Thomas Jefferson, possibly even Galileo, Michelangelo, were likely on the spectrum or certainly shared components of that type of personality. I'm pretty sure they didn't get immunization. So I really think that it's a wish and a prayer in some regards that we could find an easy solution. The bottom line is having Asperger's is not bad. It's just different.
And I appreciate the call. Let me ask you about the term Asperger's. Mm-hmm. Dr. Asperger is the one who first diagnosed this. When did that happen? How did it happen?
Hans Asperger in the 40s. Had several clients that he called the little professors. He was very much engaged by these young men, but he noticed that there were some differences in how they processed, how they related socially, and the fact that they had very deep interests in things that other children their same age would not find terribly interesting, something that we might now call very similar to hyperfocus.
So my friend's son, who absolutely loves flying, mm-hmm. he thinks flying is the greatest thing that ever happened. Is that part of that process?
It very well could be. Frequently, people who are on the spectrum have one or maybe two or three topics of interest. We tend to call it perseveration, where they're absolutely fascinated by something. It can be refrigerators. I had a client several years ago who knew everything about every kind of refrigerator known to mankind. Typically, it's not that far off the charts. You'll see kids in grade school who are absolutely know everything about Pokemon or know everything about a particular video game. As they get older, they might find a different type of topic. I have a couple of clients now who know everything about history, particularly World War II, for example. So, yeah, they find something that intrigues them and they dig very deeply into that topic.
8080810 is the number right here on KGO. Jan Johnston Tyler is my guest. Her book, The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders, is available from Amazon.com. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com. You can check around, or you can go to her website, which is
www.evolibri.com.
And this book, I'm telling you, is so important, and it's just splendid. We'll talk more with her and many, many more of you with questions. We'll try to take as many as we can right here on the John Rothman Program. It is 11:31, and it is now time to... John Rothman with you right here on KGO. My guest is Jan Johnston Tyler. Her book is The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome. Can you tell everyone how you spell your website?
Certainly. It's www.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead.
Evo Libri, E, V as in Victor, O, L, I, B as in boy, R, I.com.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, let's go to Don calling from Concord. Don, welcome to KGO.
Good evening. Very, very timely. I'm the president of a group in Concord, California, which is a nonprofit operation that houses, job counsels, and assists of those adults that have autism spectrum disorders, and particularly reasonably high functioning, and we have a lot of Asperger's clients. We have a full-time neuropsychologist on staff and have been doing this for about the last 23 years.
I think I know who you are, and your service is wonderful.
Well, thank you kindly. It's so timely, and I'm just so delighted you wrote a book on this topic, because so many parents and caregivers just know not what to do. So I wanted to thank you kindly and hope things go well.
Thank you.
And I appreciate very much your call. Let's go to James calling from Sunnyvale. James, welcome to KGO.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Anyway, I was diagnosed as an adult, even though I was born with Asperger's. And the whole irony behind it is maybe something that your guest mentioned earlier. I was invited to join Mensa and Intertel. Intertel is the top 1%, and Mensa is the top 2%. And I was told I'm in the top 0.25%. Actually, I had a lot of hobbies. A lot of things intrigued me, just like the person with the refrigerator, electronics, and a whole slew of things. But then, on the other hand, there were things I was just plain not interested in, and it was kind of a fight with my parents. But on the other hand, I could foresee things, like I was laughed out of my class before. I asked my fourth grade teacher, I told her I think Castro was a communist, and I was practically laughed out of the classroom. In third grade, I remember I read a little article in the newspaper, and I asked in 1957 if Iraq was going to someday invade Kuwait, and we were going to someday be at war with them.
Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
I'm 62 right now, but I don't look at my body's actually functioning and just like somebody in their teens. I mean, I took a little notice of something that was once mentioned on the radio at Stanford about a certain vitamin that a doctor found was the closest scientific thing true. Realistically known to the fountain of youth. I caught on to it, and I've been taking it for many years.
Well, it sounds like you're doing very, very well. Thank you for your call. Let me ask you, Jan, is that a typical kind of response?
Absolutely. It's definitely the kind of response I would see or hear from an adult with Asperger syndrome. I think it's delightful. I love hearing stories like that. And James, if you're still listening, I want you to know I have an adult support group for ASBYs. And we're in Sunnyvale, by the way. You can find me and find the support group, and we do one also for teenagers. If you go to meetup.com, that's meetup.com, and if you search on Evo Libri, EVOLIBRI, you'll see our various support groups. I'd love to have you come to our adult group. We meet once a month. On Sundays and have a potluck dinner. And we've got adult Aspies. I think the upper age right now is about 58. So you're in good company.
It's absolutely fascinating to me that this kind of opportunity exists for people. Why is it that it's taken so long to address this question?
Well, I think in large part because we didn't have a diagnosis. And, you know, a label is just a label. I also think that part of the reason why this has come to a head now is our world is very different. I think that the world was much more forgiving to people with Asperger syndrome in the past. We found ways, or they found ways, to use their considerable talents, and were successful in their own rights. But I think now, you know, certainly in elementary school, where we make children sit still for hours on end, we're starting to see children who can't do that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we call them, you know, either behavior problems, or we find a way to figure out why are they not able to sit still? Why do they behave differently? So it doesn't matter if it's ADHD or Asperger syndrome.
My guest is Jan Johnston Tyler. Her book is The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders, available at Amazon.com. This is an exceptional book. It is an important book. And for those of you dealing with Asperger's or the autism spectrum, I can only tell you it is a must read. It is absolutely essential. And if you know people who may not be listening tonight, you want to make sure you get them a copy of this book. It will be invaluable in terms of dealing with a very, very tough problem. And I'm very grateful to Jan for coming in on this rainy night. Many more of you with questions, 800-808-10, John Rothman, right here on KGO. I have an email here from Linda. It's typical of literally more than 20 emails that I've received during the course of the show. How can I get a copy of your show regarding Asperger's syndrome? My grandson has it. He is 13, and I would like to get the show information to my daughter in Las Vegas. Linda, again, you can download this program. It's up for 1 week in the KGO archive. And I've just talked to Jan, and she is going to download the program and put it up on her website. Give people your website again.
www.evolibri, that's E, V as in Victor, O, L, I, B as in boy, R, I, .com.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Jamie calling from Santa Clara. Jamie, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. Jan. I wanted to ask if I heard Jan say that she has a consulting service, and I was wondering if she can offer through that consulting service or any other avenue guidance for, I have an adult son who's 41. He has mild autism, and he actually is educated. He got a degree in mechanical engineering from San Jose State, but the thing of it is, that was sort of the end. Like, he's never been able to, get a real job anyplace.
Right. That's actually really common. And that is, in large part, the focus of my consulting firm. We do work both with transitioning high school students to post-secondary education or vocational school or what have you. But we have a lot of adults who have gotten a four-year degree but then can't get the job. Oops.
Yeah, so he's done all this work that he studied
exactly.
So hard and worked hard in school, and I won't go through all those details. But I just want, that's what I'm worried about at this point, because, you know, I'm getting old, and
right.
What's going to happen to him after I die.
Right. Well, we definitely, and I've just hired a job developer about 4 or 5 months ago. She's fabulous. She also has done some work with the Department of Rehab. And we work with individuals like your son, trying to place them either first in volunteer positions. Certainly we try for paying competitive employment. Right now, though, unfortunately, the economy is so bad, it's hard to find jobs. But we do work with individuals like your son to help him find his way into the mainstream employment, if at all possible.
Now, how would I go about getting that, accessing that service?
You can visit my website, and I have a button that says click here for free 30-minute consultation, and that will send an email directly to me, and I can contact you, and we'll set up a time.
Well, okay, thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, that's great. And repeat your website again.
www.evolibri, E-V as in Victor, O, L-I, B as in boy, R-I .com. And our contact information, both our email addresses and our phone numbers, are listed on the About Us page.
Right. This email just came in. Our son is 19, has average intelligence, slow processing speed, serious executive functioning difficulties, NLD with some Asperger's. He is not the genius type that many people talk about. He struggles a great deal. One, how do people like our son become self-sufficient? And two, what kind of structured living environment exists for people like our son?
That's a really two very good questions. First off, I have a lot of clients who have NLD. Understand that the autistic spectrum is kind of loosey-goosey, if you will, as to who's on and who's not. It's a series of symptoms, of which one, poor executive functioning, is certainly a part of it. In terms of helping him, first off, I want the listeners to understand that nothing magical happens on a child's 18th birthday. They don't wake up and suddenly have a full capacity in their frontal lobe, right? So these kids frequently are 2 to 5 years behind developmentally. So if he's 19 chronologically, he might actually be about 14 developmentally. The sad thing is that we're expecting him now to go to high school or to go to college, and he's not ready. So there are things that you can do: community college, vocational schools. Volunteering is really good. There's a lot of things that you can do. And in terms of supported living, first off, I would hope that you'd keep working towards independent living, because I think it's almost always possible. It just may take some time. But there are group homes available through the county. if he qualifies because of his disability. There's also some individual programs, College Living Experience, CLE, and the College Internship Program, CIP, are both companies that have several locations throughout the United States that teach children independent living skills.
800-880-810 is the number right here on KGO. I'm flooded by emails and calls. Jan Johnston Tyler is my guest. Her book, The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders, is available from Amazon.com, also BarnesandNoble.com, and of course you can go to her website, Evo, E-V-O, Libri, LIBRI.com, and you can get the information. Many more of you with calls and many more emails, which we have to respond to. But I have to tell you, I'm so glad that Jan came in, because this is a growing problem. We don't know why. We don't know what the reason is, whether it's environmental, whether it's chemical. We don't know. But we know that more and more people are affected. And what Jan has done is to write a book, and I wish you could see how this book is a step-by-step guide. That's what it is. 800-880-810. I am John Rothman, right here on KGO. Once again, I want to give out that website. It is Evo, E-V-O, Libri, LIBRI.com. You have some videos available as well, right?
I do, because I know that not everybody in the country can access our services. I've created 4 DVDs that are available also through Amazon and from my website, and 2 of them are for professionals. One is for career counselors who are working with folks on the spectrum. The other is for mental health workers who are working with folks on the spectrum. The other 2 are for families about transitioning their teenagers into the big bad world out there. And then the other one is more focused on post-secondary education and how to ensure that your teen is ready to launch.
Debbie, calling from San Jose. Welcome to KGO.
Yeah, hello. I want to thank you for this. I have a child that was brought up, and she had some challenges, but she was always thought to be a bad student, and it was really sad. So I really need you to really talk about how it's not the child's fault and not to treat them as bad.
I want you to know Jan is nodding her head affirmatively. Jan?
Teachers, I tell you, we need to reach out to teachers. I am in the volunteer spectrum. I go to bat for everybody. I know there's a lot out there. I am there, ready and willing to help anybody, because it was a struggle, and now she's an adult, and she doesn't believe in herself, but she's very smart, and she doesn't do anything because she doesn't think she's smart because the teachers told her she wasn't.
Right.
Let's get an answer. I need an answer. Go ahead.
I think that, you know, this is really important, and I do hope that the teachers out there are listening. You know, teachers have a very hard job, and I certainly realize that, but it's really important for everyone to know, parents, grandparents, teachers, people working in preschools. These children are not willfully misbehaving. They are doing exactly what makes sense to them. And you cannot discipline out this behavior. You can't discipline a child to think differently or act in a quote-unquote neurotypical way. And it does. It breaks their spirit. It causes huge amounts of depression and anxiety. Both of those, depression and anxiety, nearly always go hand in hand, starting at about 13 years of age with Asperger syndrome.
All right. I appreciate your call. And let's go to Nan calling from Pinole. Nan, welcome to KGO.
Oh, good evening. This is great. I love this. I wish you were around about 15 years ago doing this. A question. Once you have the diagnosis and you take that and you go to school and you have your IEPs, you know, to get the right services and the battles that have to go, the stresses that you go through to get those, what supports are out there for parents?
There's actually a couple different levels of support, if you will. First off, I'm big on always taking somebody with you to an IEP. They're very
frightened. What is an IEP?
An IEP is an individualized education plan. It is basically a contract that the school district enters into with the parents on the specific types of educational constructs that this child will receive because of their disability. Schools, it depends on the district. Some school districts are very good at executing IEPs. Unfortunately, many are very poor because it's money out of pocket. And right now, as we know, schools don't have a lot of money. But really, to answer the caller's question, first, always take somebody with you, somebody who's pretty unflappable, because just to have somebody to slow you down or to help you make decisions, I think is good. There's also a lot of advocates out there. Typically, they're parents who've gone through the IEP process themselves and have the battle scars. And the next step up would be an educational consultant, of which there's some fabulous ones here in the Bay Area. And then after that, it's a special ed or an educational attorney. And there are several good ones here, too.
Let me point out, and so you know this, Nan, that in Jan's book, all of this is spelled out. I couldn't go chapter by chapter. There just isn't time. But it's question and answer all the way through. I appreciate
I run across a lot of parents in the school district that I'm in, and they don't have money. I'm in the West Contra Costa Unified School District, and they don't have it. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to get help for their kids, and they trust in the school, and you just see these kids just languish, and it's heartbreaking to see that.
Well, that's why I especially appreciate your call. Get a hold of this book. It will help you tremendously. Again, it's EVO, E-V-O, Libri, L-I-B-R-I. Did I pronounce it properly?
Yep.
Okay. EVOLibri.com. Or you can get the book, The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders, by going to Amazon.com or to BarnesandNoble.com. Last word. What do you have to say to people?
For parents in particular, and also for young people with Asperger's, it does get better. But understand that this, you know, no child is done at 18, and certainly our Aspie children are not. Hang in there. They're wonderful people, and there's definitely room in the world for them. We have to make that room for them. They bring such great joy and interest to our world.
I can affirm that based on watching my very dear friend and her son and her young daughter, and the way they function as a family is just outstanding. I want to thank Aunt Alice, who was kind enough to send the email that led me to the discovery of Jan and her wonderful book, The Mom's Guide to Asperger Syndrome and Related Disorders. Jan, thank you, and also Jody, thank you for coming in with her.
Thank you so much.
Jody's a devoted listener, and he's sitting here and enjoying it, I hope. All right, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Gallup has rated who the most popular people were in 2010. You're going to love it.